Hi everyone, my name is Aaliyah DeLong. I am a PhD student at the University of Florida, and I work in the Department of Family, Youth, and Community Sciences. I am at the School of Natural Resources and the Environment, majoring in interdisciplinary ecology, and I'm a graduate research assistant on an interdisciplinary project working on sustainable organic strawberry production right now. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about the participatory action methods that we use in this study and that we have researched in previous projects as well. So I'll give you a little bit of background information about technology adoption, about the projects that I'm going to be talking about, the actual methods, and some results and conclusions that researchers have been able to make as a result of our research, as well as any implications for future research. And the photo is from a research assessment that we conducted in February on station trials in Citra, Florida. So technology adoption in agriculture has historically been very slow, and a lot of that can be contributed to the typically top-down approach that happens within university research systems, which is that scientists who don't often have a lot of field experience develop research questions and methods that they're interested in that may not be directly related to what local growers and farmers practically need. And so it often ignores the needs of communities that they seek to serve, ultimately. So there has been a recent surge in action research, participatory action, all of those kinds of like hot word methods, and they're often going into the field and teaching growers how to use a certain technology, you know, training them and then leaving. You know, there's a lot of good research out there that follows up, you know, is very like interactive with their communities. But what I'm focusing on here is on the other side of it, like the behind the scenes, like what are we doing in the development of our research questions, objectives, methods, data analysis that actually incorporates feedback from the growers themselves. And since technology adoption has historically been so slow, it's important to come up with methods that can speed up this process due to the fact that conditions are changing as the environment continues to change as well. And so we've used the method I'm about to introduce in three different projects. It originated in organic strawberry production. We also applied it to anaerobic soil disinfestation, which was in conventional tomato production, and the current project, sustainable organic strawberry production. So it can be applied to a diverse scheme, no matter what your regime is, organic, conventional. It's kind of like something, a method that can be adapted to several different contexts. And so what we do is we have on-station controlled trials. Again, it's a research station by the University of Florida. And so we reach out to growers in the community as well as service providers, so extension agents, to come out to our field trials, look at the plants physically, assess them in terms of what the plants look like, what the fruit look like, weeds and pests and disease, and then we come back together for a discussion and we tell them about the different kind of regimes that we're testing. So it might be different cover crop and cultivar combinations. In terms of the anaerobic soil disinfestation, we were looking at different organic matter inputs versus carbon inputs. So we asked them to tell us what they like about our research, what they don't like, what we're missing, what is applicable to them, and, you know, what should we do next year to kind of, like, cut out this lag time where basically we want them to tell us what are the useless methods that we're using and, you know, what should we cut out, what should we add in? And at the most recent strawberry assessment in February, we had a grower come in, and he was like, out of the field into the discussion room, and he was like, there is literally no marketable fruit in your field. And this was in February at, like, you know, the start of the peak of the strawberry season. So these are kinds of things that we need to know about, like, researchers are really bad at growing strawberries. So we also do on-farm trials, which I wasn't planning on getting too, giving too much detail in today, but, you know, we use the feedback from the growers at the research assessments, and then, you know, we contact growers in the community and ask them if they like our research, would they like to try components of it on their farm? So, you know, we allow them to pick and choose different things from our research that they would like to test on farm, and we let them take care of the management, and then we come out and collect data. And what that ultimately does is it exposes our treatments to variants because we have very controlled trials on station, and in Citra, the soils are really sandy, so when we expand to different farms in the area, we get a lot more of organic matter, you know, a lot more of, you know, people knowing what they're doing because it's their livelihood. So we end up getting a lot of recommendations in terms of research design. So we've, you know, changed out cultivars that we look at, treatment recommendations. A lot of people say, like, why are you even doing anaerobic soil disinfestation? You know, it looks expensive. If I were to switch out to this method, then I would break even. You know, what is the benefit to me, you know, as a grower who, you know, like, lives off of what I am able to grow. And same with data collection techniques. A lot of growers want multi-year data. They want to see what the yield is year after year, and they want to see that this isn't just like a one-off season, but that there are consistent results, because you really have to, like, build trust if you're going to try to convince a grower to adopt whatever technology that you're proposing. And so using this kind of technique can help improve lag time in agricultural technology adoption. So when I say sustainable production systems, this can also mean, like, something that is lasting. So we want to be able to offer a regime to growers where it is something that they can apply year after year, that's not going to be constantly changing. And if we get information directly from growers, then we're saving resources by, you know, cutting out potentially years of testing different things that growers aren't interested in. And also by involving growers, we are serving the community better by, I hesitate to use the word allowing, because it's not like, you know, we are inviting them in, and there are still a lot of hierarchical issues within the research system at the university level and institutional level. But we do our best to collaborate with people and ask for their input so that we can have a more egalitarian process, as well as just kind of, like, work towards something that goes a little bit further than just inviting growers to give feedback, but to go further in the sense of providing reciprocity, which is something that was alluded to earlier in the first two discussions, is just, like, what are you giving back to your community? Like, they want to see the data. And it's about cultivating a relationship with growers where you trust one another. They're going to be upfront and honest with you, and it's a lasting relationship that you can come back to, and they know that you're not just coming in and getting what you want and then leaving them high and dry. And so that is what I wanted to talk with all of you about today. Thank you for letting me be here, and I would love to take any questions. I wouldn't say, you know, cooperation of the farmer, but it's more so farmers are super busy. They don't always have time. You know, you're asking them for a piece of their land. They're not really sure if what you're testing is going to work for them. You know, if they lose out that piece of land, you know, that's time that they invested in managing that piece of land. And a lot of times researchers are just really bad at following up with growers and making sure that, you know, they're treating them with respect. So I would say definitely just finding growers who are, you know, have the time and capacity. And there, it's usually like the same growers you see over and over who are willing to participate in these kinds of things, who enjoy interacting with researchers, but then you also see like that leads to sample bias because you're not really, you know, reaching other growers who don't want to work with researchers.
I mean, on that note, like I would like advocate here today that it's about you need to democratize that process. So if you think about the very first thing you do when you come up like steps in research is you come up with a question or you might make an observation and use that process, that you're not doing that in isolation. If you want to do true participatory approaches, your research question cannot be decided without your stakeholder involvement. So she's talking about, you know, there were some words of like giving or allowing.
Right.
Not about that, right? It's actually about if you come to the table and you actually come up to a research question that's at the same level, that's a win-win, right? I mean, a guy won a Nobel Prize about win-win negotiation, right, years ago. If you find that and get that, then there's not this like issue of like recruitment or how do we get them to care? And it's like, it's not at that level because the goal is to democratize the whole entire process and not come in with an agenda. If you're truly trying to do participatory research, like if you really, you know, that's the fundamental aspect of it. So it's critical to relinquish power. You have to relinquish some power from it. Any other questions? What year are you?
I have a master's degree, and this is my now second year of my PhD program.
All right, quiet bunch. We'll do our last talk for the day. Thank you.